So turn with me into Isaiah chapter 53. We'll read a couple of verses there. And got a little housekeeping to do, but first we'll do this. And got a special surprise for you. So in the book of Isaiah, so I want to tell you that this prophecy is, well, let's see, what would it be? It would be about 2,700 years ago when this was wrote and spoke and received through the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of the living God is here today, and he's wanting to speak to you, he's wanting to talk to you, he's wanting to fix you, he's wanting to share a burden with you, he's wanting to fix things. I actually, the last service that just left, we were talking about God fixing some things in your life. So I'll start with that because that really seemed to resonate with a lot of people. Let's just pray for that right now. That we'll just drop the lights down, if you would, Jackie, and we'll just pray that the Holy Spirit for everyone here and those who are at home, just pray that if there's something that needs to be fixed, just like the last service, just where you're at, raise your hand and just invite God in that area. Just right here, go. You know, you don't have to mention it. Just roll it over in your head and talk to God right now in the name of Jesus. I need this fixed, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus in my life. I need the presence of your Holy Spirit, and we need you here today, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's applaud because we believe that the Lord's going to do that. All right, let's do this, and we'll try not to delay our big surprise. It says, who has believed, I'm in 53 of Isaiah, who has believed that he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So they're talking about Jesus here. For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. So let me give you my interpretation of this. So the prophecy from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, he's saying that not necessarily there wasn't something that was stunning about Jesus. It wasn't like he came in a white Cadillac and wore a fur coat or anything like that. He's not that kind of king. He's the kind of king who doesn't mind getting his hands dirty to help you out in your life. So and as Christians, we're attracted to people who are not just hearers of the word but doers. Jesus is definitely a doer of his Father's word. Amen. He was despised and rejected, verse 3, by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs. Listen, this is where you come into the story. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. So you want to know why all that took place in verse 4. Here's your answer. Verse 5. He was pierced. That means the sword went into his side. For our transgression. Transgression is a violation of God's law. So he was speared. He was hung. He was crucified. He was beaten for the transgression that you and I do so often, more than not. He was crushed for our iniquities. I tell you this, the iniquity is an action of gross immoral behavior. That's the definition of it. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. So when he took all them sins, died on the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, he rose 3 days later. And if you're with Jesus, you rise and become a new creature in Christ by what he did at the cross of Calvary. And with the wounds, we are healed. All we have, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So let's turn up the lights for just a second. I want to make sure that I get this. I want to settle this issue with you. So this is written 2,700 years ago. And you talk about the iniquity of us all. Iniquity is gross immoral behavior. He addresses what happens in the New Testament in Romans chapter 1 about gross immoral behavior. It's very clear about it. And if that's the way people want to stay, he said he'll turn you back over to your due perversion. That's something that's very dangerous, is leaving God's protection. Watch this. It's a very dangerous thing to quote unquote do it your way. You do it how you want. But as a preacher and someone who cares about you and your eternity and your families, I don't want you to try to do it on your own. It's very dangerous. And our friends need to know that today, especially our young people. In a world that has just gone mad. We're talking about iniquities, gross immoral behavior, some of the things that are going on in our society now we would never dream of in our wildest dreams when we were children. Amen. You can't even make this stuff up. Right. Jesus died for all that stuff. And you might ask yourself, is there a price to be paid? There's a price to be paid. Living outside the ark and the safety of Jesus. It's called hellfire and damnation. And it speaks of it in this Bible that I preach out of today. Take heed and listen up, people. Verse 7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep before his shearers. He is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Let us pray. Father God, we pray today. Father God, in your Son Jesus' name, the one that was crucified, laid in a borrowed grave, rose 3 days later, seated at the right hand where you're at. We ask, Father God, through this worship service, through the word, through the music, through the tithe, that your name would be blessed, it would be honored, it would be glorified. And I pray that you find it pleasing today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit has his way in our midst in this meeting. And we pray this in thy name of Jesus today. Amen. Amen. So let's let the offering be picked up. We'll turn the lights back down. Drop the screen. We got a quick video for you referring to Palm Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, since it's Palm Sunday, would you rise with me and shout Hosanna, Hosanna? We'll bring in our little praise team people here. All right, so let's give it up for our Sunday school praisers. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna.
All right, you may be seated. I'm going to go through this real quick. So if you didn't get one of these invite cards, it's the easiest time of the year is to invite your friends. Here's a card before you leave church, or I'll have one of my deacons hand them out if you didn't get one. Just give them this card and invite them to one of our services, whether it's here or Warrenton or North. Then grab one of these super cool business cards, and on it is a scan. I guess that's called a scan. You put your phone over it, give it to your friend. They put their phone over it. It tells them about our website, gives you all the dates and the times of the services to come. I never thought in the ministry world we would have something this cool, Steve. I'm not a tech guy. I didn't design it, but the ladies in the office did. So that's another tool for you to invite your friends and your family to church this Easter. Amen. So be a committed Christian and do that. God would want your family in church. And actually, on here it says if you could only went to church once this year, could it change everything? I believe it could. Let me tell you what I believe about the church, Debbie and Tim. I believe it is Christ's bride. I believe it's very special. I believe it's a very anointed place. And when people are here, they're encouraged by the Holy Spirit. They're encouraged by other people. They're encouraged by the worship and the word and just a friendly face. And I think sometimes a big Stephen could change people's life forever. So church is very important. Amen. Hallelujah. So at this time, I'm going to talk a little bit more about commitment, and I want to introduce to you a good friend of mine who has been on our deacon board for 10 years, and this is his anniversary today. It's Mike Berger. Mike, I want you to come up here today, buddy. Franny, come on. Come on, come on. So, I'm not going to ask you to talk because I know you don't want to. But I want to just say this real quick, and Mark, all the rest of the deacons are going to shake hands and everything. So, Mike and Franny are so committed to the Lord and committed to being a deacon. And Mike's been a chair for our deacons for so long and been members and finally passed the baton over to Mark Dennis and that group. But I want to say that Mike's a standard bearer along with the rest of the deacons. So if you're a young person, you go, hey, man, I want to really know how I could work in church and what difference does it make and stuff like that. You can pull Mike and Franny aside and they'll tell you, man, you got to stay in there. They would tell you it's kind of a bumpy ride, but in all, it pays off. You got your children, your grandchildren, everybody here. So Mike's a difference maker along with Franny. So give it up for him, and God bless you. Love you, man. Love you, buddy.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, Franny.
Thank you, Pastor Pat.
Love God bless. Give it up for Mike and Franny. Amen. So, and I want to tell you also about the role of a deacon's wife. It is it's a doozy to be a wife of a deacon. So. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. And truly, young people, it would be super cool for you to do that. Just kind of go by. Mike and Franny are usually pretty busy. They always got appointments. But you can kind of pull them aside and go, hey, man, what should we do? You know, how do we get committed? How do we, you know, go to next level with Christ and all that? And they can kind of tell you. And it's real time. They came in just like you guys did, I'd say probably 11 or 12 years ago or so. And they're here and they're difference makers, and their kids are here, and it's just super cool. So let's pray for the message, and we'll get rolling on that. So it's a good message, and I love the book of Mark. So, Father, God, bless the message, and I'm asking, Lord God, because I need you. I need the power, your wonder-working power of that third person, the Trinity, called the Holy Ghost. And I need you. I'm asking that you push my agenda aside and let my you speak through me, Father God, to these people here and here and everyone at home across the city, state, country, and world. In thy name of Jesus, amen. So one more time for the Lord on Palm Sunday, amen. So you need to be here for the rest of the story. If you can't make it on Friday, that's our Good Friday service. Laura, what I'll be doing is I'll be tying this message into the Good Friday message, and I'll tell you what happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then after Friday, you guys will have to be here for Easter because that's the most important day of all to be here for the resurrection service. Whether you're here, you're at Warrenton, or you're at North, make sure you're there. So we read 11 verses in the book of Mark, 11 verses 1 through 11, and it goes like this, and we'll go back and we'll chop it up. If something speaks to you, I challenge you to be a note taker and highlight it. I literally have the book of Mark marked up everywhere. It just speaks to me so wonderfully. It says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord is in need of it and will send it back immediately. And they went away, and they found the colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. So you'll need to underline that. I'm going to come back to that, and we'll talk about that. So some of the things that I'm speaking about here in the New Testament were prophesied in the book of Psalms and in the book of Zechariah and all these different kind of things. And there's probably some other books out there that could be sprinkled in here for sure, but those for sure. It says, and they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting. We just shouted that. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's stop for just a second and talk about that. Hosanna means save me. We'll talk about that in the service. It means Hosanna means save me. And I was talking to Barb last week, I think it was, and we were talking about one of our friends, Dimple, and we're talking about her, and Barb let me know that Dimple was one of your Sunday school teachers. I'm going to ask you just to stand up for just a second so everybody kind of has a reference. So Barb's been in our church for about 2 years now, and no, hey, she'd been here, how long you been here, 50 years? And 70, 72, 74. Yeah, so, amen. So I say all this so we can kind of make a connection here on this. So, and how important it is, and we didn't even get the chance to talk about the Sunday school teachers that brought the kids through. And I figured it's just easier for us to continue to pray for Sunday school workers that they'll be here, they'll never quit, and it's easier to teach a child about Jesus than it is to fix up a screwed up adult. So let's continue to pray for them. And I was thinking about Dimple being a Sunday school teacher and all this kind of. We got so many wonderful people and such a rich history of committed Christians that we can tandem to that. So if you're new in the faith, it's neat that you're in a church that has all these different things in there. We have the younger people and all the way up to our senior members and everybody in the center that kind of ties all that together. So there's always somewhere you can be where you can grow in Christ, amen? And all the different things out there. And are they really, I'm going to tell you what, Tina, it's the lifeblood for families. The church is the lifeblood. If you do, I beg you, if you do anything, go to church. If you only go, he asked me just to do one thing, just go to church. And I promise your life will be richer because of it. Amen. Okay, let's get back to this and then we'll break this down. This is a delightful story. So they untie the colt and they bring it to Jesus. And let's slide down. Let's go down and slide down to verse 6. And they told, so they're up there, and so they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw the cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road and some other leafy branches that they had cut in the field. And those who went out before those followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's what our little people just did here. Save me, basically. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Say that with me. Hosanna in the highest. That means we're trying to sing to you the greatest praise, Chef, that we possibly can. We're trying to give you the very best we have, just lifting it up and no restrictions. No restrictions while we're praising the Lord. No restrictions while we're listening to the Lord. Full strength of the Holy Ghost. Amen. No light version allowed here. Verse 11, last verse. And then he entered Jerusalem and he went into the temple. And he went and he looked around at everything. And as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. I got to preach on this backwards because I haven't done this. This is my third time I preached on this. And I didn't get a chance to speak on because we got so wrapped up in the Spirit. I'm gonna give this a shout because it's noteworthy. And I talk about this every year. And we all fall under the... So if you've ever gotten mad, just like... So mad you could spit. Just, I'm talking straight up mad. You could. No, I'm now let's do it like it's on steroids. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. If you've just had your house freshly painted, Big Steve, don't nick up the walls. Oh, you didn't just push the couch against the wall. That mad. Amen? Hold on for a second. You can't even go in there. Don't even go in your own front room. For like 6 months till the newness wears off. You ever? Let's do this. Let's do this because you guys are all here. Let's do it with the new car. Let's go there. I'm talking floor mats the whole deal, just right here. We get floor mats when the car's new. You do floor mats on top of floor mats. I don't, but I mean, like after the mechanic's done some work in there, they got the paper in there so he didn't get it dirty. You're like, you know what? That's got to stay for a while. Oh, don't act like you don't want it there. You're like, you know what? This is real stupid because it's a mat over the floor mat so the floor doesn't get dirty. Do you remember your aunt in the 70s when she had the runner in her front room? Condensation and mildew. And then you sat down on her plastic furniture. Wrap the furniture up in plastic. Somebody say something to me. Am I the only family that has it? Oh, you can sit on it, but it's covered with plastic. Amen. Well, back to being spitting mad. Oh, I'll say this and I'll get off of this, I promise. In the dining room, you know how the dining room's set up and it's the thing with all the plates back there, whatever that's called, and then the fancy table and the, like, nobody ever actually sits here. This is like a stage thing that we show everybody. We're really this neat and you surely can't sit in there. That's the first thing I do when I see a place like that. I go sit down and they're like, oh, Rankin's coming in with his cowboy boots and his rank. Oh my God, here we go. We don't even invite him anymore. Yeah, did he? Oh. I do that, man. I'm just like, you know, I'm going to be sitting on that thing. You better get it out of your house. Mad. The reason I'm saying all this is because you guys hide behind this. 11:11.
Jesus flipped over the tables. Jesus was mad.
Say it with me.
It's righteous anger.
Look at me. You're not Jesus.
See you next week.
I always wanted to say that. I don't know. But just off of this, Janny went in and looked around. Did he have the right to flog everybody? You better believe it. He went home and knitted a cat of nine tails and went in and whipped all that. Yeah, he did all that because they were in there making money. They flipped the tables over. He could have done it then, but he didn't. He went back and all this kind of thing. Quit hiding behind that is all I was saying. It's kind of a funny, but. So next time you'll remember the plastic furniture anyways over the deal. Go up to the top. Here it is. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, so I want you to ride in with me as we go to Jerusalem, because that's kind of what the story's about. You and I, that's what kept Jesus going, I believe, in the people through the thousands of years and these two little towns, if you will. I don't know if you could call them cities. They're about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And then he's going into the village, and he says, go in there for me. And he says, I want you to get this colt. And if you're to read other gospels, you find out that this colt, obviously it's a boy, and it says the foal of a donkey, which means it would probably not be over a year old. And then they tell us it's never been ridden. So we know that Jesus is able to speak to you and I. He's able to speak to animals, and he rides in on this donkey. And he speaks to it, and he says, hey, we're going to have a nice, gentle ride as we go in, and there's not going to be any conflict. And I thought about this. This is the same way he spoke to you and I when you were in your mother's womb. Same, and he told you what was gonna happen. And some of you guys have dreams. God speaks to people in dreams. Me and my dad discussed this yesterday when I was at the farm. And he brought me in and we were talking. He said, man, I had a dream that he lost something. And he said, in the dream, God told me where it was. He got up the next morning and walked right to the spot where God told him it was. True story. So I want you to know, God, watch this. God not only speaks to this donkey, speaks to me and you. Think about Noah's Ark at this point. Noah's Ark. So we know the animal kingdom's pretty wild and all this. And I'm thinking about, this is how I think. And I'm going over in my mind that the lions and the tigers and the bears are all loading up. And God's probably telling the lions and tigers, here's the deal, guys. We don't want anybody getting in trouble in there. I don't want any fighting going on. Dogs, don't you be chasing the cats either. Cats, leave the pigeons alone. And watch this. No multiplying till we get on dry ground. Because we only got a certain amount of food for a certain amount of days. So God has all this figured out, and you're wondering today, can he fix my problem? I promise you, as your friend and pastor, he can fix anything. Amen. Let me expound on this message a little. So he tells him to go get the colt. And if anyone says, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. So he knows somebody's going to say something when they come up to get the colt or get the, let's just say donkey. When they come up to get the donkey, he said, somebody's going to come out of their house and they're going to ask you. So here it is in verse 4. And they went away and found the colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it, and some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? Here's their answer. And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. Say that with me, and they let them go. So how is that significant with what's going on in our society today? Or maybe, so close your eyes when I ask this question, how is this story significant in my life? So as you close your eyes, you'll think there's something going on in your life that you just need to let go and let God get in there. You've been trying to fix it. You've been trying to repair it. You've been trying to do it your way. Anybody that's been trying to do it your way, what we need you to do today is just say yes to God. Amen. And then watch this. Then you need to let it go. Now open your eyes. I want to tell you a story. So in the story, me and my wife, we was watching a movie, and it was called Just Say Yes or something like this. It's kind of like a family movie. And do you remember when you first got married, Laurel and Greg? We said yes to anything. We're the yes couple. Yeah. You want to go skydiving? Yeah. How about riding them on a motorcycle? Yeah. A long journey in the rain? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do the scuba diving. Yeah. Then after you get married and have kids, everything's no, no. That's kind of what the movie was about. And a guy in the movie, he was kind of part of the PTA or whatever. He said, man, he goes, you guys are saying no to everything. You know, the kids and all this. He said, you ever had a yes day? And she goes, what do you mean? He says, well, you just say yes. And here's what I'm asking you today. Why don't you just say yes to what God wants to do in your life? Now hold on for a second. Don't overanalyze this. You know what it is. Why not just invite God in that area? Just go, yeah, man, I want you to take this over. Or, yeah, I don't want to be mean anymore. Or, yeah, I need you in my finances. Or, yeah, I need you in my marriage. Or, yeah, I need you in my job. Or, yeah, I need you in this relationship. Or, yeah, I need you to help me kick this addiction. Or, yeah, I need you. Yes, yes, yes. You need to just say yes to God. Watch this. And just like these people with the donkey, and then let it go. God's wanting you to take your hands off of it, man. You got it broke right now. And the only person that can fix your issue is God himself. And then now watch this. Now I want to talk to somebody who wants to do it their way. Oh, we've already tried that. People tell me that, like they've tried church. What was it, like it's a diet drink or something? Oh, we've tried that. Oh, have you really? Here's the deal. Have you got down on your knees every day and prayed as a family and said, yes, God, your way. I'm just to start denying myself. I want you in my life. I want you to fix my problem, and I'm turning it over to you. Amen, church. Oh, We tried that. Church didn't work, so we're going back to being addicts. Here's the deal. I want to let you know today, God will never fail you in any area you invite him in your life. Can I get a witness? All right, hold on. I'm going to probably read your mail when I do this next part. They brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it, and many spread their cloaks on the road. We have good intentions, and they cut leafy branches that they had cut from the field, and those went out, followed him, were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, save us, save us. And then days later, this is the last 6 days of Jesus' life. And then within days, they're going, crucify, crucify, crucify. Why do we do that? We say we want God in our life. We turn around and we act the other way. And if you're to ask, hey, here's something that's been stuck in my crawl all weekend. If you ask a child something, we expect this out of children. Here's what they do. If a child's trying to get out of something or an accusation or doesn't want to like really get in any trouble, you ask, did you eat all the cookies or who left their... Who left their plate here? And you, the kids just go like this. It's called the shoulder shrug. They go like this. I don't know. Remember that? I mean, if you do it right with your mom, it can get you out of all trouble. It doesn't work with your dad. If I did this in front of my mom, I was like, I don't know. My mom would go, well, I guess he's telling the truth. My dad may smack me if I do that. Maybe God does too when we do this. I don't know. He says, yeah, you do, you know. And today he's telling the adults to quit acting like babies. This, watch this. It might work in kindergarten, this here. That don't work in the kingdom of God. You guys know better. I know better. We need to start saying yes to God and less to what we want and quit shrugging our shoulders when we have the answer. The answer's in the book. So I'm going to ask you to rise with me as I read the last couple of verses. We got two verses here left. And I don't know who's playing for the altar call. But we can go ahead and drop the lights down, Jackie. And I know we have a baptism and all that, but I want to get through this altar call first and however we got that arranged. All right, so here it is. It says, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest. So I'm gonna say a few things that I believe you ought to start saying yes to. God working in your marriage, you need to say yes to. Say yes to God coming in and delivering you from your addiction. You have to say yes to that. Well, what's the alternative? Here's the alternative. I'll just tell you, Gloria, we tried it our way. Franny, I'm the king of trying it my way. Tried it. Oh, we're going to quit. Here, look at me for a second. We're going to quit. When are you going to quit? The day you quit is the day when you get your hands off of it. Don't come in this church and act like, oh, we're gonna quit. We're gonna quit, Pastor. We're gonna quit. Oh, are you? The day you quit is the day when you get your hands off it, and then you hand it over to God. You go, you know what? I tried to quit before. Or you need to start saying yes to God in your job and yes in your finances. Oh well, we don't, you know. And some people, we don't hear it too much anymore because people have finally listen to the word. Oh, we don't believe in tithing. We don't believe God being in our finances. Well, here's the deal. You want him to save your soul, but you don't want him into your finances? You don't want him in your marriage? You don't want him taking care of your addiction issue? This is madness. We have to stop this silly stuff. I think it's time that we start saying yes to bringing God into our local politics too as well. Hold on for a second. Let that start at home. And then let it start at the city and state and federal level. You can't keep God out of these areas. We need God more now in this country than we ever have. We got crises that only God's going to be able to fix. I'll be quite honest with you. I watched a very disturbing video before I went to bed about some of the things that are going on in this country. And I'll be real honest with you. They're ungodly. They're ungodly things. We got to start saying, yes, we need God in this. Quit being embarrassed about God. In the end, the only thing that lasts forever is the people who are in the kingdom of God. God's not embarrassed of you. Why should you be embarrassed of God? And then we'll end with this. The coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest. Where's God at in your life? I'm just going to ask you that question. Where's God at in your life? Is he the God we're going to get back to after we get all our stuff done? Is he that God? I'll get back to you. Man, that's heart-wrenching, because sometimes you get busy, and then you don't end up getting back to God. And God's like, really, man? I thought I was first in your life. I want to talk to a church today who wants to put God first. If you will put God first in your life, and hold on for a second. I'm not talking about impressing your friends. I'm talking about impressing God. Make God first in your life, and all the rest of the stuff will work out. Amen. Don't let anybody take that place. Nobody. I want to talk to that church today. And quite frankly, it's time for the church to fess up and go, I want Jesus to be my Lord. Let's pray that prayer today that we allow God that space. And you kick out whatever's in that seat. You're like, it was the busyness and the new car and the job and the TV and the COVID and the COVID gets all the press. Really? You're gonna blame everything on COVID? Quit. God's name's bigger than COVID. We blame everybody. But start with yourself. Blame yourself. Take ownership and go, you know what? Man, I got to get God first and kick all them excuses out of that seat. Go, you got to go. God has got to be first in my life. I'm talking about my life. And I'll tell you something. It was kind of, I mean it in fun, but it was true. You know, today I was, Kenny, before I came to church, and I prayed in a different spot. Whoa! You know, I mean, like you're always praying a certain spot. And I was like, you know what, man? I'm going in the front room where the new couch and the freshly painted walls are. I mean, can't you have fun? Can't you pray and really get in the closet with God anywhere? That's what he's looking for. And I was kind of mulling it around in my head. I was like, man, do I really go in here? Like, oh, yeah, coffee and everything. I'm going. How'd you like to get there? I mean, just to the place where you go, you know what, I'm going to start. I'm gonna get down on my knees and pray with God here. Would you like to do that today? I'd like to do it with you. Anybody interested want to come down to the altar and just ask God to be first in their life again? Meet me down here and I'll pray with you. So, amen. So, let's start to pray together. So, Father God, we've kind of ignored some of the things, some of the signals, and some of the things that we're supposed to do. We want to get that straightened out. You call it repentance, Lord God. We call it basically a lack of commitment. We want to get you first. First, wouldn't you like Jesus to be Lord of your life right now? Just put him there, man. You go, is it really that simple, Pastor? It's that simple. God, you've got to be first in my life. I need you so bad. And is it a blessed day when Jesus is Lord of your life? Man, it's the best day of all. Let's pray this prayer. Father God, we want to move you into the front seat, the driver's seat. Father God, we want you to lead our life. Father God, we want to be grateful followers. Today we're confessing that our way has not worked. We're confessing today, Father God, that your way is the best way. That's a good way. We admit that we were wrong, and that's all you want. So, Lord God, we're asking today that you help us clean up a mess. A mess, Lord God, that we created, that you died for. That you arose 3 days later. And because you walked out of the grave, we walk out too, Father God. So we shout victory over our issues in Jesus' name on this Palm Sunday. God's people said amen.